This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 355 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Franklin's health director, Kathleen Liberty. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We covered the following topics in our conversation. A recap of COVID-19. It's here. It will be. Follow the protocols. Facial coverings, masks, social distancing, hand hygiene, etc. Halloween is coming. Mass DPH and CDC guidance is out. Flu shots, important, especially now. There is a clinic at the senior center. The slots are already full. There may be a second one scheduled. Stay tuned. Triple E, it's a low risk so far here. Our conversation runs about 35 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Kathleen. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 on the local area Franklin Radio FM band. Today's session, we're with Kathleen Liberty, the health director for the town of Franklin. Kathleen, good day to you.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here with you.
It's been a bit, but I know you've been rather busy.
Yes, I'm coming out of the COVID-19 tunnel vision.
Tunnel vision, yes.
Tunnel vision. Yeah.
You've had a lot between the schools reopening and the almost biweekly, sometimes it was daily changes, certainly early on. There's been a lot going on.
A lot going on. I was on the reopening task force for the schools. So that was a great opportunity to get to know everybody, the key players, and work to help and add guidance to what reopening looks like.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. And fingers crossed, they're still in the early days, remotely initially, and then gradually bringing back. I think this week the kindergartners come back, and then they'll gradually bring back grade by grade. And I know they're still looking at, I think the high school was supposed to come back at the end of the first quarter, but rumors are they're going to try to bring them back a little earlier. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on the daily average case numbers and where we're at with that.
Right. And if we have any internal spikes, within Franklin that are attributed to or contributing from the reopening process.
Right.
But I think to summarize for the listeners, and thank them for listening, clearly, but given all the news and the sound bites, et cetera, I think the virus is here, period. It's here. It is real. It's not going away anytime soon.
Right.
And the protocols that you at least have from a Franklin perspective, but the CDC, Mass DPH, have been given out in terms of the masks, social distancing. That is our defense for this time period.
It is. And I mean, you hear, Governor Baker saying it at all his briefings. We have to keep reiterating the importance of following the protocols. And the protocol is to wear cloth face covering, to continue to social distance at 6 feet, and continue to practice good hand washing hygiene. And what does that mean? Of course, we know that we have to wash our hands for 20 seconds. It's not just, rubbing our hands together. There's actually a practice.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can't, we use hand sanitizer. And it's kind of funny because you and I did a podcast, I believe back in March.
Yeah. Early on, before we
kind of even knew this. And I remember saying, close contact is 6 feet for 15 minutes. But I wasn't quite sure. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. And now it's just part of your daily conversation,
right?
Direct contact, 6 feet, for more than 10 to 15 minutes, so it's just become part of our daily routine.
Yeah. And clearly being indoor in close contact is much more risky. than being outdoor for similar contact, because this is an aerosol or, you know, air particle. It's certainly spread via air. Then the more air circulation, i.e. outdoor, as opposed to even ventilation indoor, you know, the better chances you're going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's why, you know, with the schools reopening, you know, the idea of having windows open so they could, like, get the fresh air in and out is really important. Yeah. And the same with other businesses, if possible.
Agreed. And I think I understand, certainly from the parents' perspective, and in from some cases on the kids' perspective, they clearly want to get back to school. I totally understand that.
Absolutely.
But let's do so safely. So getting the teachers in, getting them used to the protocol, because they're the models. The kids are going to watch that behavior and model that behavior. So let's set it up.
Sounds good.
So it's in Sarah Ahern's, Superintendent Ahern's hands, and the school committee. And certainly you participated in that large task force that did all the work and is still working as required here and there, from what I understand. So,
yeah. It was quite an opportunity.
Yes. And I think if anything, it goes back to what we had started to once upon a time. I mean, clearly, and even Jamie's introduction of you at the town council meeting, you're one of the departments that generally tends to be behind the scenes, and yet you are providing a critical service, and now you're getting the visibility because, oh, by the way, now with the pandemic, the service is that critical. But which is not to say it's not critical in other areas, because every time we go out to eat, I mean, all the health inspections around those restaurants, that's still within your realm. So
it is, and it was a great opportunity to do a presentation at the town council meeting, so that, you know, everyone does understand how many hats we wear, and you know, preventing, you know, the public's, you know, preventing the public from getting ill from all different avenues, right, all different venues, is really of the utmost importance to us, and it's our job. And so it was good. It was a great time to be able to have people say, wow, you do more than we expected. You do more than just food establishments. And so I was really, really happy to be able to present that.
Yep. And for those who are listening now, but perhaps hadn't seen it, certainly Franklin Matters has the link to the town council piece. It's also available on the town page. If it's not already up yet, Franklin TV and radio will be putting the broadcast available for replay there as well. So you can go back, and I certainly do encourage folks to watch and listen, because there was some good questions during your presentation as well.
It was.
Yeah. And one, I'm not sure if it was there or another session, but there's also a question like, well, clearly you're doing COVID reporting now in terms of how many cases we have, et cetera. But that's not something you generally do for that infectious disease piece. You've got a process and a protocol, but you don't necessarily make that public all the time.
We don't. So, and what that means is, you know, we are notified by the state when there is a communicable disease in our town. And there are many communicable diseases, but I'll give you one that people would know would be like salmonella poisoning.
Sure.
And so what we have to do behind the scenes is reach out to the patient, and we don't do contact tracing per se, but there are a number of questions that need to be asked, because salmonella can be caused by food, right? Foodborne illness. And now with so many families having poultry as kind of pets / there to provide eggs, you know, there is a chance that, you know, they can contract salmonella that way as well. And so if we find that they've eaten at a food establishment, then we have to do a full-blown, and I say full-blown, I'm just going to use layman terms because there's another term for that, a full-blown inspection from the time that the food is received to the time that it's served to the customer and everything that comes in between that. So we can make sure that this won't happen again, right? And then again, if it was poultry from families, you know, pets, and then we do education on how that, you know, shouldn't happen and won't happen again. And the reason, you know, no one has ever called me and said, you know, how many salmonella cases do you have? And how many Campy Bolacter and how many tuberculosis cases do you have? We do put it in the annual report, you know, as to how many I have per year. But it really is kind of just, you know, day in and day out operation of just doing that type of investigation. I think when it came down to the cases of the COVID-19, that resulted from panic and fear, mm-hmm. And the unknown, right? And
sure.
So in the beginning, there were a lot of calls, you know, my daughter is going to see her boyfriend in Franklin. How many cases are there? You know, I think that the perception was it was airborne, you know, everywhere. And that's okay until we knew more. What else can we, you know, expect, right? Or think? And then other towns and cities started posting their cases, the first case, second case, or whatever. So the town of Franklin released the first case, and that was it. And there was some pushback by the community with good reason, I would imagine. And so the town administrator decided at some point that I think right about the time where the state was going to providing that the weekly.
Yeah, the community-based numbers. Certainly having them at that level, do the aggregation, and then we can pick our numbers and share it out locally.
Right.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
It does. And so that's, I think, right about that time, the board and the town administrator decided that we should have the case numbers. And I get those weekly for them. And I'm not sure. I think they're posted, but I'm not positive.
Yes. Yeah. They're in one of the portal pages. And I believe it's on the school side as well as on the town side. You know, there's kind of the, nine box, maybe 12 box, I think is the last time I looked.
Yeah.
It's almost like the kind of the Brady Bunch blocks, right? So it's got local town info, state info, blah, 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 reopening, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's in one of those.
Yep. Yeah. But I mean, none of the other communicable diseases that I mentioned, I mean, there are some, but we see more of the like tick-borne illness, mosquito-borne illness, those type of things. And they're not catchy, you know?
Well, and that I think is the key piece that we want to reinforce for the folks who are listening is that, okay, so if you get a tick disease, just because you have it doesn't mean I'm going to get it because I'm in close contact with you.
Right, exactly.
But unfortunately, because of COVID and the nature of that disease, it is airborne. Even if I'm asymptomatic, I may be carrying it and you could get it if you're not properly protected. And that's where we have this issue, which is different from any of the other communicable diseases.
It's an invisible war.
Yeah.
And basically, where the other communicables, we can actually basically pinpoint where the disease was contracted,
right.
You know, and that type of thing, where this is just, I mean, it's just an invisible war.
Where were you? Who were you with? Where were they with? And then you have to do that to figure out, as opposed to, the salmonella case. Oh, you do have chickens, then it's likely there and you go that road. Or did you just do takeout or you eat somewhere and you go that road? So it's a different beast to deal with, certainly.
Entirely different beast, entirely.
Yeah. But one of the other pieces that's at least been a local conversation, especially now that we're getting into October and Halloween's coming.
Yes.
Franklin doesn't determine what people are going to do for Halloween.
Nope.
I think in the recent article that came out clear from Town Administrator Jamie Helen, and from your point of view, you've shared the CDC and now MassDPH has the guidance based upon protocols for, you know, COVID.
Yeah, they do. Last Wednesday, the CDC came out with guidance for holiday gatherings and Halloween. Obviously, it's a tradition, right? So everybody wants to be a part of Halloween. The kids love it. There's parties, there's gatherings. So I really, I was happy to see that there was some guidance for these fall holidays, including Halloween. And it was really, it's a nice guidance, easy read, and it speaks to alternative to an alternative Halloween, right?
To what we used to do.
To what we used to do.
Yeah.
And low, moderate, and high risk activities, which is great. I actually did an article for the Homesteader on trick-or-treating during COVID-19. So besides the podcast, you can also read, basically took the what CDC had said and put it in more layman terms. But
yep.
No, and I think when we think about the virus spread and the risk involved, I think that people have to really take a step back and think logically, right? So first, I think they need to look at the community levels, right? So if the community they're in is at, a lower risk, then that's where you start to make your decision based on your community levels of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to look at the location. If you're going to a gathering, is it outdoors? Is it indoors? Because like what we just said, indoors poses more of a risk than being outdoors. We want to look at the duration of a gathering. We want to, if we're going to go to a gathering or, do some type of outdoor, scavenger hunt and there's, mm-hmm. A gathering of people, we want it to be on the shorter side. And the number of people at the gathering. So outdoors, you can have a number of people there, but we want to make sure that everybody is practicing social distance,
right.
Facial coverings, right? The whole protocol that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast.
Sure.
Because there are some people who are unable to or may not want to.
Right.
And you don't want to put yourself at risk because of that.
Right.
And then you also, you want to look at the location that some of the attendees might be coming from, because we have low risk and high risk states. You want to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the behaviors of others that are, may be there, like I just said, if they're not practicing social distancing and face covering, then, you don't want to stay there. And I think last, what we talked about is people who should not attend is any person with or exposed to the COVID-19 should not go to a gathering, should not host a gathering. And anyone in your household who's been diagnosed, you should just stay away,
mm-hmm.
So there's just, and I think we just know it well now. It's not a guessing game. We know how it's transmitted. We know how to minimize the risk of transmission. And so just because it's Halloween doesn't mean it's a free for all. It's still here. And we still have to continue doing that.
Agreed. Agreed. And the protocol, the masking, the social distancing, the hand hygiene. I think it was a quote that I captured from one of the school committee meetings, included at the time, I think in the context, they were talking about the trauma of kids taking school remotely instead of being in class with their friends. Well, there are therapies for that kind of trauma. Unfortunately, there is not a therapy to allow for recovery from death.
Right.
So, there is a risk involved. And to your point, we take the low risk, do the protocols, and we can get through this. Mm-hmm. Don't go high risk. Don't not follow the protocols, because this is, by the way, a deadly disease. It's not that everybody dies from it, but it is deadly. So.
Right. And the CDC, when they speak to like the moderate risk activities, I think people are worried about, the physical piece of holding on to the candy and then giving it out, right? So
right.
They do speak to, making goodie bags.
Yep.
For families, for kids to take as well, which is a good idea. But I just want to say, anyone who's thinking about doing something like that should wash their hands prior to making the goodie bags and
right.
wash hands after.
Yeah.
So there's still that protocol as well.
Yep.
And I actually saw last night, I don't know what I was watching, but someone made a candy slide.
Yes.
Out of PVC pipes.
Yep.
And the candy goes straight down.
That's been making the rounds. It's like a 2 to 3 inch tube.
Yeah.
PVC tube, and it's attached to their, porch railing.
Yeah.
Jiggered some way so that the person standing at the doorway just drops it in, and the kid puts their basket or bag at the bottom inside the bag, and
right?
It just drops right in.
It's
I saw
fantastic.
Another one was kind of like an old clothesline, but it went to like the corner of the driveway, you know, light pole. And it was this little basket. So they loaded the stuff in the basket. The basket flew out. The kids took it out of the basket and then walked away. It's so creativity is coming to fore. I mean, there are ways to make, you know, delivery contactless to a certain extent. So,
And I also learned a new term, trunk. Was it trunk or treat? Yeah.
Trunk
or treat. Never heard that before, but I might consider that. In my neighborhood, we have a slew of families that come through. So I have to stop being creative myself. I'm not sure I could put together a slide with PVC pipes, but something.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all this, we're in flu season.
Yeah, we are.
And thereby the flu shot is ever more important than, I mean, it always was important. But it's even more important this time around because clearly the coronavirus is in the relative family of the flu. So if you do have the flu and then you get corona, it's probably not a good thing to do.
No, I wouldn't think so. But you know what I'm anxious to see is if there's a decrease in cases of the influenza due to face coverings.
Yes.
So I'm interested in that. I don't have the numbers, but you can find them on the CDC website, the statistics of flu cases and the number of deaths. And this, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people that die from the flu as well.
Right.
You know,
well, so. It's interesting, too, that I think just doing the masking, the social distancing, hand hygiene, clearly that's targeted for corona and COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But I think it was either late August, early September, Governor Baker said that there's a new study that's showing other diseases are not appearing, likely because we're following these protocols. So they're not spreading. We're not getting the high incidence of, you know, call it the common cold and maybe the flu season, as bad as it could be, because we're doing this.
Right.
Won't be.
We take the common cold and the flu for granted.
Right.
You know, and you know, if that can be prevented by just this hand hygiene and social distancing and mask, you know, it was funny. I had to do a training for the mandatory safety standards when phase one opened.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
We did it together.
Yes, we did. We did the audio portion and then worked on the slides. Yes.
And I think it was either the one I did with you or the one I did for the municipal employees. I actually kind of grossed everyone out because I said, you know, look, our respiratory droplets, right, when we talk, sneeze, cough, can enter someone else's mouth, nose, or eyes, right? And it's like, ew, you know, we never had to think on those terms before.
No.
And it's real, right? And so it's just changed our world.
It has. And I think that's one thing that, at least from a New England perspective, and I think we may have even just talked about it when in one of our first ones. Clearly, even when midwinter, we go out, and we just start breathing, we see the frost in our breath as it changes. Clearly, we don't see that on a regular basis, especially in July.
You're right.
We do see it all the time if we're aware of it, but you know, we're generally it's invisible, although it's there.
that's what I mean, invisible war.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So anyways, we're having a flu clinic, and we're having it, Tuesday, October 6th from 9:30 to 11:30 at the senior center. And it's kind of the first of its kind where we're doing a drive through. So it should be interesting. We're going to be, vaccinating people in their cars.
Right.
Another new look, another new world, right? Yeah. Much safer, I think. And I'm anxious to see how that goes. I'll tell you, we have 100 vaccines available.
Limited use at this point, yeah.
Yeah, we're limited. And so what people don't know, again, in the background, we purchase, not we contract with Salmon VNA, and they purchase vaccines.
Right.
And so It's a lot to talk about, but they purchased vaccines, and that's the ones that were going to be used for this flu clinic.
Sure.
We also received state-provided vaccines.
Yep.
And that's based on the use of last year. But those are, there's guidelines to who can receive those.
Okay.
So
it's kind of like funding. Some funding has to be used this way, some that way, and that's a form of funding in terms of which dollars bought the vaccines, et cetera.
Yeah it's similar. And so we're using the purchased vaccines for this flu clinic. And so it was kind of interesting because we put the registration up, I think Friday morning, Friday mid-afternoon, last Friday. And by 3:30, we were inundated with the registrations, and we had to actually shut the site off.
Right.
Yesterday I counted, I had 83 people, not so much 83 people who signed up, but you could include for who you're bringing, you know, that
correct.
One
person. Right.
So all together, 83 people.
The 100 doses effectively are taken.
Yeah, because, yeah, and the senior center is assigning more people up on the side.
Right.
So again, we are hoping to have a second flu clinic based on the state supplied vaccine, but the guidelines may be a little bit different.
Right.
So that, just stay tuned, because that's always a guessing game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
in the meantime, through their regular doctor, through CVS, Walgreens, places like that, you know, absolutely. It's just, you may have a slight wait, or in my case, I went during a sports game, so I figured there were going to be less people there, and sure enough, walked right in, signed up. 5 minutes later, I'm out the door. So.
Oh, really? So that's good. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. So, yes, absolutely. You know, get it wherever you can. For this particular flu clinic, we're not going to be taking insurance information. We just want to, you know, vaccinate and just drive right on through.
Mm-hmm.
So, should be interesting. I'll let you know how it goes.
Good. Good. And logistically, either, you know, thinking of the car and either a driver or a passenger, because the flu shots go in the arm, that's going to be fairly easy for truly minimal contact, because somebody can just go through the window, hit the arm, boom, and then you're out.
Yeah, we have a nurse at each side of the car.
Whichever side the person is, you can. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Because that would be the other time to shift. Oh, you're on this side. I got to go this side.
No. So it should be fairly quick and efficient. For the projected planning for when the COVID vaccine is available to the community, we do have an emergency dispensing site drive-through plan as well, and that actually is at the high school.
Right.
So that's for a large scale vaccine clinic. And of course, depending on weather, right, we may have to go indoors, but then there'll be another plan for that as well.
Right, so, modification to the plan, yep.
Yeah, I mean, we have it in place, so we're ready.
Yeah, that was the one, if I recall, that was either the August or September Board of Health meeting, and you had the interns who had worked on that and presented it to the board, and it sounded really good.
Yeah, these interns, they're wonderful. They're part of the, I wish I wrote it down. It's an academia, the name of the corporation they're with, it escapes me.
You can always include it in the show notes as we edit these.
Yeah, I'll get it for you because it's important. Over 1,000 students throughout the country mobilized immediately when COVID hit. To assist the local boards of health. So it was insane. So we had, the town of Franklin and surrounding towns, we had six interns that we were allotted to help us. Contact tracing, administrative work, whatever we needed done.
Right.
And I'm a big advocate for an emergency drive-through, even for many purposes.
Sure.
And so, being new to Franklin, I hadn't designed that yet, so I thought that would be a good project. And they ended up utilizing that for their practicum for graduation.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it should be finalized pretty soon. But You know, the fire department weighed in on it.
Contributed. Yep.
So it's been a collaborative effort.
Yeah. And I'm sure the schools as well, because going through the schools, and I think you were using the drive process that effectively they do for, or had been using for the lunches.
No, that was for the senior center, which we're not going to do that way, but we're more.
Well, senior center has the cafe, but the high school had the daily lunch deliveries. And I think you're using that same process.
I think that in the high school graduation parade.
Ah, okay. Yep.
Yeah. So it was kind of tied it all together. So.
Sure. Yeah. Picked and choose are the best pieces.
Yep. So the community can know that we're all set with that. So that'll be an undertaking, but we're ready. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Now, one other health item, and I know from what I've understood, at least Triple E is more of a concern to counties, communities in Western Mass than it is here, but we're not totally out of the woods with that, no pun intended.
No. However, the state had, you know, come in into the counties and, you know, tested mosquitoes right along the certain species of mosquitoes that caused Triple E. There were none in Franklin. And, you know, it's, we thought last year, after last year with the Triple E, we thought this year would be worse because it is a 2-3 year cycle.
Sure.
So I can't tell you how grateful I am that it was such a limited amount of animal and humans.
So quiet.
Yeah, I know. So I think you told me we had one frost. I'm not sure if I had a frost in Worcester, but we need two solid
consecutive frosts.
Consecutive frosts in order to say we're in the clear. So, you know, still when we had a podcast about this before, when you're outdoors and, you know, you're on a trail or you're taking a walk in a wooded area or even in your own backyard, you have to, you know, make sure that you're protected against mosquitoes and ticks. I'll add ticks in because they're not done either.
Right. Insect-borne diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know from the community garden perspective, my garden in the backyard still has tomatoes growing. The tomatoes were finally pretty much done at the community garden. And I think most folks there, I'm not sure if we technically got into that below 32 degrees, but clearly it was in kind of the mid 30s. Okay. But I think it was just the one night. I'm not sure we got the second night yet. So
yeah, I'm not sure. So I'm not a weatherman, but.
Nope.
And actually I'll know more. The DPH call, the epidemiologist, Dr. Brown, will always update us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
As you continue your information gathering from the state and regional, whatever infos you get to then bring back and say, hey, Franklin, this is what's happening.
Exactly.
But then you come here and share it with us. So we know what's happening. We'll let everybody else know.
Great. Wayne, why not?
Why not? All right. Well, thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome.
We appreciate it. Health is important, and you're certainly leading the efforts in that regard for the town of Franklin. So we appreciate it. And Ginny and Tyler and the Board of Health, and you've had kind of, I'll call it a host of other part-time assistants over the COVID period so far, and who knows what the future holds. So.
Who knows? Stay tuned.
Indeed.
Yeah. But just to reiterate what we said in the beginning of the podcast, it's so important to follow the face covering guidelines, social distancing, physical distancing, hand washing to minimize the risk of getting COVID-19. Have this be part of your daily routine, your hourly routine, if necessary, depends on where you are. And remember too, the holidays can still be very festive if we follow these protocols the best that we can. And we are all thinking outside the box right now. And so I'm sure, you know, it'll all be swell and it'll definitely be a memory, right? Remember when.
Yes.
One note that I didn't say about Halloween that I think is really important is that face coverings are to be worn under a mask, under a Halloween mask.
Whatever your creature costume character mask is.
Right.
You still have to have the, you know, COVID mask, if you will.
You do. And I wanted to put that out there because I didn't even think about that. And as a parent, I would think probably the mask of the costume would be enough. But according to the CDC, a face covering under the Halloween mask should be worn.
Yeah, because I can think back to some of the Halloweens. Usually there's a mouth opening on some of the character masks. Yeah. And clearly that wouldn't meet the protocols required for COVID-19, hence the facial covering.
Right.
Good.
And still I'm here for anyone to ask questions about Halloween, about holidays, and anything.
Anybody? Anything health related. Yes.
Health related.
Your contact info and the link to the page on the Town of Franklin website will be included in the show notes for those who, you know, excellent, need it. Absolutely. Great. Well, thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you. I love doing this with you. So thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.